We have to be true to what we've been called to. And when you become true to what you have been called to, there are some people who are going to have some issues with you, just like people had issues with Messiah. I was thinking about some conversations that I've been having over the course of years, and today it dawned on me that we've been trying to convince people about certain things in the Bible, and we use the idea that much of what we find in the Old Testament continues in the New. And it does. But it doesn't stop people from telling us we've fallen from grace. It doesn't stop people from telling us we've abandoned the faith. And they try to convince us that we're mixing. We're mixing the old and the new. We're mixing the Old Testament and the New Testament together. If what we're doing in the new is found in the old, what's the problem? Because here's the reality. If we've fallen from grace, then Paul, who preached grace, has fallen from grace. If we've fallen from grace, then the disciples who followed Messiah has fallen from grace as well. Because when I look at my Bible, I see them continuing on celebrating the feast, the holy days in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. I see them continuing on in the Sabbath. I see them continuing on in the things that we ascribe to. So if we've fallen from grace, then the brothers who followed Messiah into the New Testament has also fallen from grace, which makes us all in good company. There's some folks who need to fall from grace. If you look at it from that perspective.
Shalom, saints, and welcome to our verse-by-verse study of the book of Genesis. I'm your host and teacher, Arthur Bailey. This week, we continue in Genesis 49, where Israel has called his sons together and is speaking to them about their future and their posterity. Last week, we heard the pronouncements over Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Listen in as Israel continues to speak prophetically to his sons and reveals the future of their posterity beyond their stay, captivity, and deliverance from bondage in Egypt. Today's study title is Israel, Barak His Sons, Part 2. So, let's study.
Last week, we looked at Israel's call as he called his sons together to tell them. And according to verse 28 in Genesis 49, we read that and we'll read it again here. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. We identified last week that some of the things that were spoken to Reuben, to Simeon, and to Levi were not necessarily considered blessings. In fact, Israel cursed their anger. He cursed some things in them that was not acceptable. And so when we look at this word Barak, we identified that the word had several meanings, and it is important to apply the right meaning in the context of how the word is used. We also noted that, I asked the question, how many tribes of Israel were there? And we answered that if you count the 12 tribes of Israel mentioned in chapter 49 and add Ephraim and Manasseh, who was mentioned in 48, we come to a total of 14 tribes. And so we identify 14 actual tribes of Israel. I stated that people confused 12 tribal lands to mean there were only 12 tribes, when in fact there were 14 tribes, but 12 tribal lands. We counted those tribes. In Genesis 48, we looked at Ephraim and Manasseh, that's two. Genesis 49, verse 3, Reuben, verse 5, Simeon and Levi, verse 8, Genesis 49, Judah, verse 13, Zebulun, verse 14, Issachar, verse 16, Dan, verse 19, Gad, verse 20, Asher, verse 21, Naphtali, verse 22, Joseph, and verse 27, Benjamin. And so we identified 14 actual tribes of Israel. We looked at the map of the 12 tribes of Israel, and we looked at a different map which shows these tribes and their borders. In the previous lesson, we presented the 14 tribes of Israel. Ephraim and Manasseh was Barak in chapter 48. In verses 3 to 12 last week, Israel Barak, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah in the order of their birth. When Israel prophesied to them, they were in Egypt. Remember that. After he came to Egypt, it's interesting that he prophesies or he speaks into their lives in Egypt, not in the land of Canaan. We noted that Father took the children of Israel to Egypt to formulate the nation of Israel. He spoke to his sons whose tribes would come out of Israel and be recognized by their tribal names. As a nation, they were called Israelites. As a tribe, they were called by their tribal names. Now, some of the tribal names are mentioned in Scripture. Others are not in the sense of a tribal name, even though they are mentioned by tribe and their land is identified. And so, since we mentioned Manasseh and Ephraim, I pulled a scripture to identify them by their tribal name, Judges 12. Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, "You Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites." And so you see the Ephraimites, which is the tribal name for Ephraim's clan, and the Manassites, the tribal name for Manasseh's clan. Now, when you look at the Israelites, all 14 tribes are embodied in Israelites. But when you look at the tribal name, only that tribe and its descendants are named in that tribe. And that's important for us to realize. Adina, Numbers 25, we find the Reubenites and the Simeonites. Adina, the son of Sheza, the Reubenites, the captain of the Reubenites, and 30 with him. 1 Chronicles 11:42. In Numbers 25, verse 14, it says, "Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites." So we got the Manassites, the Ephraimites, the Reubenites, the Simeonites. And here we find the Levites in Exodus. And Eleazar's son, Aaron, took him, one of the daughters of Petuel, to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites. Now, Judah's tribal name is not mentioned. We don't find the term Judites, but they would be later referred to as Jews. And where were they called Jews? They were called the Jews in Babylon. And you'll find that the term Jews is not found in the Torah, is not found in Joshua, is not found in the Judges, is not found until the children of Israel get into Babylon. In verse 13, Israel speaks to Zebulun before Issachar, who is older. And this is one of those areas where it seems that Israel, he speaks to Zebulun before he speaks to Issachar. Issachar, if you look at the birth order, Issachar is older than Zebulun. And up until this point, he has spoken, with the exception of crossing his hands when speaking to Ephraim and Manasseh. He has spoken to Reuben, to Simeon, to Levi, and to Judah in the order of their birth. But now he seems to change order. The words Israel spoke to his sons will come to pass over time, as scriptures will reveal. Some of the words spoken are somewhat difficult to interpret or find their fulfillment in the word. For instance, what is being said about Zebulun. Now, again, he puts Zebulun before Issachar. Zebulun is not a Portland, but is landlocked by the tribes of Asher and Manasseh. The descendants of Zebulun were close enough to the Mediterranean, however, because Israel spoke to Zebulun and said, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Now, when he spoke these things, and this is why it's important when you're looking at a word that you have to also have some understanding of the geography, understanding of some map, because this statement, looking at the map, if Zebulun is to be a haven of the sea and a haven of ships, and then here's another thing, it's his border shall be unto Zidon. And then I look at this map. Zebulun is landlocked. There's no way in the world a ship can get to Zebulun. Not to mention, looking at Zidon, if you notice this arrow that is going up to the north, you'll see that Zidon is on the other side of Asher and Naphtali in the land of Phoenicia, which says to me that either this map is wrong or the allocation of land, according to how Israel spoke it, was not fully realized, because if its borders is to be, as he said, shall be unto Zidon, then this map gives me a different picture. And we've looked at all the maps that I've found seem to be similar to one another. Because I think if you go back to these two maps, you'll see that Zebulun is, there's Asher and there's Naphtali, and Zebulun is there, and Issachar. And then if you look at this map, Zebulun is similar in the same place. And then you go and you look at, these are three different maps. You'll see the similarity. Zebulun is landlocked. It's not a haven for ships. It's not by the sea. In fact, it is 10 miles away from the Mediterranean Sea. Now, we also note that the land that was promised to Abraham was never fully realized. We know that. And so there is some challenges here that we haven't gotten into, and I didn't want to take us all the way into Joshua with the allocation of land, because even if I look at what is written, it would be somewhat difficult for me to chart it out in a map, which means that I would have to kind of be there and try to recreate an actual map to fix these maps, because something's wrong. It's obvious something's wrong, and I didn't create the problem. I just identified the problem. Israel's prophecy to Zebulun leaves me with questions, and you better believe that I will certainly be searching this out. Now, Zebulun's tribal name was Zebulunites. These are the families of the Zebulunites, according to those that were numbered of them, 80,500. This is in Numbers. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens, and he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Here's one of those places where I would have to tell you, beware, beware, beware of commentaries. You cannot have your favorite commentary and take what it says at face value. Every book that was written, every commentary that was written, every historian that have tried to write history are biased. They have a belief system. They have a doctrine. They have a point of view. And they don't have all of the information of the day. So they're trying to piece things together. And this is why, just as you read different versions of the Bible, if you get different commentaries, and I've been at points with the different commentaries that I have that I've wanted to throw it away. I'm reading this commentary or reading that commentary on different areas and different issues, and I can see the obvious errors. And it's like, you know, I be wanting to use some of their maps or use some of their charts, but there are things on the chart that I have to remove from the chart, which alters their chart. So I decide I just won't use the chart, because I know how the human mind is. We focus in on something and then we go down rabbit trails and rabbit holes, and I go on enough rabbit trails for all of us. Now, man, I don't want to start leading you down rabbit trails. So at least I know my way back. I know my way out. So if you go down a rabbit trail, you better leave some breadcrumbs. You better leave some markers or something, because ain't no telling where you end up. And so Issachar speaks, and Issachar is one of those tribes that I couldn't find his tribal name. Now, Israel is about to do something and just trying to follow him, because initially he speaks to Joseph's sons, which happens to be his favorite son from Rachel. So before Israel begins to speak to any of his sons, he first speaks to Joseph and to Joseph's sons, which are from Rachel. So what happens? He speaks to who he recognized as his firstborn first. And then he speaks to his oldest after, because Reuben was older than Joseph, but Reuben came from Leah. And what you're going to see in this is that Israel speaks to his descendants, his children, Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh from Rachel. And then he goes over and he speaks to his children from Leah. And then he's going to speak to his children from Bilhar, firstborn, Zilpah, firstborn, Zilpah, secondborn, and then Bilhar, secondborn. This is the order that he's speaking to them in. And then he finishes up with Joseph and then Benjamin. So he starts with Rachel and he ends with Rachel, or the children from Rachel. And so he speaks to Bilhar's firstborn. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heel, so that his rider shall fall backwards. Now, Samson came from this tribe. Samson was a judge. And many associate the prophecy that is spoken of by Israel to Dan, to Samson. Now, the tribal name, and there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not, Judges 13:2 and verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and Jehovah blessed him. So, here we see the Danites. Now, in the midst of baraking his sons, in the presence of all his sons, Israel declares he was waiting on Jehovah's Yeshua. Now, you got to get the picture. Israel got all of his children, all of his sons in this room, and he's ministering, he's prophesying, he's speaking prophetically to them. And he stops. And he says in verse 18, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Now, if you look up the Hebrew for this word salvation, you will find the word Yeshua. Yeshua. And so what is he saying? I have waited for your Yeshua, Jehovah. What do we see here? We see, just as Abraham and just as Isaac, now we see Israel looking forward to the deliverance, to the salvation that is identified in the Torah as who? Yeshua. Yeshua takes on salvation, deliverance, welfare, prosperity, victory, save, health, deliverance, saving. And so when we talk about being saved, according to the Torah, it's not about going to heaven. It's about being taken care of, saved, delivered, prosperous, victorious. Now, it's now. It's not for the good old by and by. Somewhere along the line, individuals have changed the relationship with the Almighty through obeying his commandments to putting faith in Jesus and waiting on the good old by and by. Yeshua is to empower us now, that we might do the works that he did now, that we might walk in victory now, that we might do greater works now. We don't have to wait until the good old by and by to do greater works. If that was the case, when he ascended, he would have took all his disciples with him. There was no point in leaving them. Leave them for what? Why do you think you're here? The same reason he left them. To take this gospel of the kingdom, to demonstrate the power, to manifest the power, the anointing, the glory, to allow his light to shine in the earth in the midst of darkness, to declare his deliverance, to declare his salvation, to destroy the works of the devil in our own lives first, and then in the lives of those whom we come in contact with, because every last one of us have been assigned to some people, and there are some people who have been assigned to us, and our job is to recognize who they are. Just as Yeshua chose individuals to pour into, these wasn't some any who it, whosoever will. Now, whosoever will can be saved, but you ain't supposed to give your time and energy to whosoever will. Yeshua didn't do it. There were individuals, and he made it clear, those you gave me, I have lost none. Except one. Wait a minute. Didn't he give Yeshua all of them? No, he says, those you gave me, I have lost none. You see. Now, some have said, well, you know, in that case, every last one of us have been assigned to Judas. Well, I tell you, if that's the case, you better recognize your Judas as quickly as you can. Identify your Judas and realize your Judas got a purpose, so you can't just get rid of him. Your Judas may be a thorn in your side. But notice, Judas was incognito. The only time Judas really spoke up during the ministry was when the woman brought that alabaster bottle and broke it or poured out all that expensive anointing on Yeshua. He's like, hold it. You dipping into my pocket now. That could have been sold. You see, Judas was hungry for money. That's how he ended up with 30 pieces of silver, only to realize that the 30 pieces of silver wasn't worth what he traded for. So salvation, brothers and sisters, Israel stops in the midst of ministering to his sons, and guess what? They all hear him. They all hear him. They're sitting there waiting for their turn for him to speak to him, and he stops. And in the midst of them, when they're on edge, all ears, he stops and he calls on the name of Jehovah and said, I've waited for you, Yeshua. And what is he? How I interpret this? The Bible has already told us his sight is dimmed. He's about to die. He's about to depart. And he says, listen, I waited on you, Yeshua. I waited on you, Yeshua. He's ministering to his sons. And I mean, imagine what they're hearing, because this is an unforgettable moment for them. This is an unforgettable moment. Who Jacob, whose name became Israel, was at this particular moment, you get to see what he has been looking for all his days. He says, I've come to the end, but I've waited. I've been tarrying for Yeshua. I've been waiting on, why is he waiting on him? Because Father has spoke to him about him. He spoke to him about Yeshua. He spoke to him about his salvation. Abraham, he spoke to him about his salvation. Isaac, he spoke to him about his salvation. Now Israel, he spoke to him about his salvation. And the children of Israel, in their hearing, hear about Yeshua. And Yeshua is mentioned throughout until he manifests. Israel speaks to Zilpah's firstborn, Gad. A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Tribal name of Gad were Gadites. And this land which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon and half Mount Gilead and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites. Deuteronomy 3:12. Israel speaks to Zilpah's secondborn out of Asher. His bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Their tribal name was what? Asherites. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Judges 1:32. Israel now goes back to Bilhar's secondborn. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. His tribal name is not found. I couldn't find any Naphtalites. But Naphtali was a tribe. Thus far, Israel has spoken to the sons of Leah, Bilhar, and Zilpah. Israel speaks to the sons of Rachel, his favorite wife, and Joseph, his favorite son. Now, he spoke to Joseph briefly in chapter 48 when he said, who is these? And then he began to speak to Ephraim and Manasseh. Although Israel was prophetically spoken to the sons of Joseph, whom he adopted as his own sons, he now speaks prophetically to Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, and this could be in reference to his own brothers. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, Israel. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, this is, remember this as we go forward. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now, there is no tribal name for Joseph, but tribal name for Joseph is embodied in the tribal name of Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, I want to throw this out. We won't jump into it, but I do want to throw this out because it's interesting when you begin to look at the tribes that are mentioned in Revelation in comparison to the tribes that are mentioned here in Genesis 48 and 49. Because there's some modification and people recognize that Dan is not mentioned in those tribes, but neither is Ephraim. And yet Joseph is. And so there are things, and people will fill in the blank, but I've come to the point to where if the blank is empty, how can you fill it in unless, of course, you speculate or you try to weave things together to formulate some kind of meaning, thus commentaries. And people begin to, now you gotta please understand something. When it comes down to Jewish writings from the sages identified as sages had nothing to do with the New Testament. They didn't take part in the New Testament commentary. Now, the only person that I know, of course, David Stern did kind of touch on some. But if you look in David Stern's commentary on the New Testament, there are a lot of gaps. A whole lot of gaps. More gaps. I mean, it's interesting. And I have to conclude, it's like, okay, why so many gaps? Because I suspect that if he couldn't find some reference to it in the Talmud or in the other Jewish writings that he referenced, then he had to kind of leave some gaps. And so, you know, we search things out. People got their revelation and their dreams and their prophecies of what they heard God say. And, you know, if you listen to a different prophet who had some dreams and wrote books, they heard something else. And sometimes, you know, you find your favorite and you follow that track until the rug has been pulled out from under you. And it's, you come to a point to where it's, you can honestly say, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And this is where some people found some grace and some, you know, disclaimers, such and such said, but that's such and such. Well, what do you say? Well, I don't know. And if you don't know, ain't no shame in not knowing. You just don't know. Unless you, you know, like, in some denominations, if you don't know, you just make some up. And that'll, you know, for somebody who don't know, if you make up something and it sounds good, they take off with it. Finally, Israel speaks to Benjamin, the second born of Rachel, who is also the last born. Benjamin shall ravine as a wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey, and at night, he shall divide the spoil. And here we find Benjamin's tribal name in Judges 19:16. And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. Now, why am I taking this time and going through? You see, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. All who? All those mentioned in chapter 49. All those mentioned in 49 were 12. That doesn't include chapter 48, which adds another two. And so people will read the 12 tribes of Israel and get stuck. That's what they do. They get stuck. Don't know there's 14 because they read 12 and they're stuck on reading 12. Now, when you go through the Bible, you'll see why there's 12, because there's tribal land. They associate the tribal land to the 12 tribes. But even though we have 12 tribal lands, we got to conclude Levi didn't get tribal land and Joseph didn't get tribal land. So even with tribal land, we got 12 tribal lands, but we still got an additional two tribes. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. So as we notice here, Israel, as he is speaking to his sons, he doesn't refer to any of them as Jews. Not one. He speaks to them according to their tribe. Collectively, they were not Jews. Collectively, they were Israel or Israelites. That was their collective name. It wasn't the land of the Jews, it's the land of Israel. Please understand that. The first time the term Israelites was used in scripture was in Egypt. Why? Because that's where they became a nation. Israelite was the collective name of the children of Israel. Pharaoh said, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. This is after the plague. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Exodus 9:7. They became Israelites. They were Israel's sons until they became a nation, and they became Israelites. And the tribes not mentioned by their tribal names, Naphtali, Judah, which became Jews, Joseph, and Issachar. And here's the thing, I said this many years ago, because people would introduce themselves and say, yeah, I'm Jewish. It's like, okay, I'm an American African. It's like, you know, what is that supposed to mean? I'm Jewish. And I said, the next time a person come to you in contact with, ask him or her, what tribe are you from? The next time a person identify themselves as Jews, ask them, what tribe are you from? If a person can trace their Jewishness back to a point, they should be able to trace their tribe. Well, my great-great-great-grandfather was a Jew. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, what tribe was he from? I don't know. Then how can you identify yourself as an Israelite? Well, they're not, some of them are not saying I'm an Israelite. They're saying I'm Jewish. There's a lot of Jews who are not Israelites. Hello? For Israelites to pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is to ignore and deny the change Jehovah instituted when he changed Jacob's name to Israel. Now, you may think that's a little thing, but think about it. As long as you identify Israel as Jacob, you identify yourself as what? A Jacobite? A Jacobite? Because you got some Israelites who prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wait a minute. If you pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then how can you be an Israelite? Because an Israelite is a descendant of Israel, not Jacob. Hello? It's not the land of Jacob. It's not the 12 tribes of Jacob. It's the 12 tribes of Israel. It is the land of Israel. You don't go to the homeland of the Jews. You go to where? Israel. I've never saw a person, met a person, talked to a person who want to visit the homeland of the Jews. People want to visit the land of Israel. They don't identify it as the land of the Jews. Well, how can it become the land of Israel? Because of who was promised the land. It was promised to Israel. The land of Israel, as I said, is not called the land of Jacob. The 12, 14 tribes of Israel are not called the tribes of Jacob. The children of Israel are not called Jacobites, Yaakovites, they're called Israelites. For Israelites to continue to refer to Israel as Jacob is to deny their own identity. And by denying your identity, you actually deny your heritage. You deny your heritage. You got people talking about, well, you know, them Jews over there in Israel, they ain't the true Jews. They don't have a right to the land. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you want to talk about the rights to the land, don't just narrow your focus on that little piece of land called Israel. There's some Egyptians living on your land. So when we identify as Israel, we have a heritage. Our heritage is the heritage of Israel. When we identify ourselves as an Israelite, by identifying ourselves as an Israelite, not a Jacobite or a Yaakovite, we're embracing the name change. You see the confusion? In one sense, you embrace the name change by identifying as an Israelite, while at the same time calling Israel Jacob. Who is he? You see. And by doing so, what are you voiding? What are you canceling out? And we want to make sure, at least I do anyway, every last one of us should want to lay claim to everything Father has spoken. All the things that he has promised us, we should want to lay claim to it. And I can tell you right now, if you're still using Jacob, you've not laid claim to your inheritance and your heritage as a Israelite. When we lay claim to Israel and his name changed, we can identify ourselves as one who has a right to the promised land, because it is the land of Israel. And it has never been fully realized, and it won't be fully realized until Messiah comes and establishes. When that new heaven, again, you look at the circumference, you look at the height, the length, the width, the breadth of the new Jerusalem, you'll see that it far exceeds that little sliver of land called Israel. That's just one city. One city. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. You can find more inspirational teachings and download our free ebooks on our ministry website at arthurbaileyministries.com. Please follow us on Facebook at House of Israel - Arthur Bailey Ministries, on Instagram at Apostle Arthur Bailey, on Twitter at Apostle Bailey, and you can subscribe to our YouTube page at Apostle Arthur Bailey 1. If you're in the Charlotte area, please come and fellowship with us. We'll do our best to make you feel right at home. Our address is on our website at the About link under Contact Us. Again, thank you for joining us, and until next time, Shalom, Saints.